Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
Welcome to the Anna DeValanta Show. This is Ji Suk Yee, and for Anna today and tomorrow, she's going to be back next week. She's been taking some time off to enjoy family and friends during the holidays, much deserved. We've got a great show for you today. We have a new exhibit at a local art gallery in River North that's merging art and science. We're going to be talking about that. We've got a comedian, Rosebud Baker, who's going to be coming in studio. Also a lifestyle expert and etiquette coach as well. So that's going to be great. We're going to be talking about weed etiquette. I know that with all the talk about legal marijuana sales, this is probably a first to have somebody talking about weed etiquette. What do you think, Ryan Burrow? Something we need?
Oh, totally. We always need etiquette in things, especially things we don't understand.
Well, I particularly love envisioning this couple that got that were the first married standing in waiting to get married overnight. You said started at midnight.
Yeah, they had some time. So it sounds like this was, and I've got to pull up her name again, but it sounds like it was Jasmine's decision to sit and wait starting at midnight.
Well, I just envision them waiting to get married, and then I envision all the people that got up really hours, you know, in the wee hours of the early morning to wait and buy, you know, marijuana for the first time legally.
Talked to some of them yesterday. It was interesting. Some of them were not from this state, but did plan to consume in the land of Lincoln. So that's interesting, too, because I know a lot of our friends in Kenosha with Kenosha law enforcement, as well as Lake County, Indiana, are interested in keeping the marijuana in Illinois and not allowing it to cross their borders.
Well, what do you think? You think it's going to be this busy for the rest of the week? Or what's your...
Sounds like it. Okay. It sounds like, you know, we heard earlier on John Williams' show that at least one shop said it was doing 400 times the normal sales that they were doing in December. So, and when we heard from Toy in that newscast, huge, absolutely huge sales. But this is day one. There is some novelty to it all. We'll see, you know, when we get to March and June and even next year where we're at.
Well, I want your thoughts on this story. This is a trending story that I'll be talking about at the end of the show, in the last half hour of the show, around 2:30. But a university in Michigan has come out with their 45th annual list of words that should be banished from English for misuse, overuse, and general uselessness. One of those words is the word totes, the abbreviation for totally. Do you guys find that word annoying? Totes?
How am I supposed to communicate with my 12-year-old if I can't use that word?
Okay, and Lauren, I want to know your thoughts on this, too.
I would be very sad because totes my goats is one of my favorite movie lines to say.
Okay, yeah, that's going to be banished. I don't know if the totes my goats is, though. There's also jelly for, you know,
for
short.
Jealous. Oh, yeah.
Jealous, yep.
I feel so cool that I know the lame words.
Well, it's not cool anymore, so it should be banished for overuse.
Yeah, you're just jelly, Ryan.
Yeah.
For reals?
And also, of course, OK Boomer, which became really popular.
Wow, it had a not good run.
Yeah, they think that should be banished. Also, vibe and vibe check. These are some other words. Mouthfeel. I mean, the phrase, I mean, and then literally, using literally when you don't really mean literally.
Ooh, yeah, that's way overused.
And then curated, highly curated Instagram posts and Instagram feed. So definitely some words that are going to make the list. So, hey, text us at 312-981-7200 or text us at 312-981-7200 and let us know what words you think should be banished. Any words from you guys? Ryan?
No, all the words I use are right on point.
Okay, we're going to have to find some new words. Okay, so we're going to be talking about that later. So be sure to text us 312-981-7200 if you agree. And if there's some other words you can think of that should be banished, such as jelly. Another one is living my best life.
I think a lot of people would like to hear that moist is going to disappear.
Yeah,
I'm not one of those people, but I'm amazed how many It really people gets, say that that bothers them.
It really gets under the skin of a lot of people. I think because the word sounds the way
gross. Something.
Yes, absolutely. But I'm thinking like a moist cake. Doesn't it sound yeah. the way that a cake that is moist?
You would... want your cake to be moist.
Right. And that goes along with the mouthfeel of a moist
that
cake.
That is a weird phrase. That you don't,
we're going to ban that word. Also, artisanal, another word. And then chirp.
That's a way to make it sound something sound fancier than it is, right?
Right.
If you're going to get that kind of bread or that go to that kind of restaurant.
Yes, an artisanal curated influencer's Instagram page. How about that?
So that is literally the worst phrase you can have.
Totes, Ryan.
Okay, thanks, guys. So be sure to text us 312-981-7200. Okay, so I mentioned that there's this really cool art gallery exhibit in River North coming up. I think it opens tomorrow on February 14th. Oh, I'm sorry. Why did I say it opens tomorrow and it runs to February 14th? It's only January, guys. I know that. It's merging art and science. And the gallery's name is Hilton Asmus Contemporary. And in studio with me, I have artist Erica Hilton, who it's your gallery, right, Erica? Welcome to the studio.
Thank you so much, G. It's a pleasure to be here. Yes, it is my gallery.
This is a super cool concept. We can just sort of set it up briefly, and then we got to take a break, and we'll talk a little bit more with you and also your partner in this exhibit, who happens to be a happiness professor. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But you wear many hats, but you do own this gallery. And can you just describe the name of the exhibit and what's so revolutionary about it?
Thank you very much. Yes, the name of the exhibit is The Art and Science of Happiness. And what we're trying to do is plant the seeds of happiness in this new decade. You know, 2020, we're not in the teens anymore. We're in the 20s now. And we need to think about positive thoughts, positive, a way of bringing positivity into our lives. And happiness is the way. And so I think we can talk more about that as you...
Absolutely. And we're going to be talking with the happiness professor who you're undertaking this cool exhibit with, Dr. Jay Kumar. And he is the co-founder of Applied Brain Science Research Institute, which is the intersection of science, spirituality, and society. And of course, you're bringing the art side. So a lot more on that coming up on the Anna DeValenta Show. But right now, let's take a quick break. Okay, so we're back on the Anna DeValenta Show. I am joined by artist Erica Hilton, who is the founder. She's a gallerist. Did I say that properly?
Yes.
Also an artist, a visual artist,
mm-hmm.
of the Hilton Asmus Contemporary, which is in River North. Do you know the address? Obviously you do.
I think I do.
Yeah.
It's at 716 North Wells in Chicago, and it's in River North on Wells at the corner of Superior and Wells, just between Huron and Superior.
Okay. And how many years have you had the gallery?
So this location, almost 8 years, okay. But I've been doing this business for almost 30 now.
Okay. So we're talking about this new exhibit that opens tomorrow. It's going to go until February 14th. It's merging art and science. You're bringing the visual art
yes.
work, mm-hmm. but you were inspired by the happiness professor, Dr. Jay Kumar. He's an expert on brain science, behavioral health, and the co-founder of Applied Brain Science Research Institute. And they kind of specialize in the intersection of science, spirituality, and society. And then I love that Erica is bringing the art part of this as well. And of course, all of us want to be happier. And it seems that with the advancements of technology and how busy all of us are and with our incredibly hectic schedules, that it's becoming a little bit harder to be happy.
It's that elusive thing, you know, it's the pursuit of happiness. People are chasing it. And what exactly are you chasing? And so that's what we're trying to identify and define here.
You were inspired by Dr. Kumar's book, Science of a Happy Brain, Thriving in the Age of Anger, Anxiety, and Addiction. I know that you and Jay are friends, and yeah. We have him on the phone right now because he's a little bit under the weather. We hate to hear that you're feeling bad, Doc.
Well, gee, I'm really grateful for the fact that I could just, thanks to technology, I can be on this wonderful show. And as Erica knows, I will do anything that I can to my ability to spread more happiness in the world.
Well, I think that all of us are looking for a magic pill or just something simple we can do. I know meditation has really taken a hold again, and has become really popular. All of my friends are saying, gee, you need to meditate. Just do 5 minutes a day. Now, you are somebody, because you are an actual behavioral health scientist, and you've learned about the brain and how it works and operates. You're saying that there's a way that we can actually thrive and be happier.
Yes, Gene. So thank you so much for bringing up that point, because in the book, Science of a Happy Brain, I advocate there are four strategies that we can actually apply. Like happiness is a behavior like anything else. So the more you do it, the more it becomes habit. And so these four C's, which are the four strategies for happiness, I call them comfort, contribution, connection, and compassion. And I can break those down for you, but the reason why I feel this collaboration with Erica and the work that we're doing for this show, The Art and Science of Happiness, is that art wonderfully is expressed by these four C's. Art brings us that sense of comfort. We connect through art. Art is a way we contribute our ideas into the world, and I strongly believe that art is also a powerful medium that reminds us through compassion that we have far more in common that unites us than divides us.
Well, I know that the two of you are friends, but Erica's saying that she was so inspired by your work. How did it come about that you decided to collaborate, Erica?
So Dr. J sent me a copy of his book before it was published, and he had asked me to write a testimonial, and I read the book, and I was just so enamored by it. I was taken aback because it was so profound on all of the different ways that we can achieve happiness within ourselves. You know, he talks about his four C's and he talks about art. And as far as I'm concerned, art is the conductor. It's like a language that the artist speaks through their creativity with the end user, the viewer, with the world. And I love science and Jay loves art. So it was perfect for us. And it's about using the left brain and the right brain. It's about combining the two. And I think so many people are either very heavy as far as, you know, right brain or left brain, and they don't understand that there has to be a balance in everything. And that's what Jay's book did for me.
So your artwork is the embodiment of these four C's. So if maybe someone goes and sees the exhibit, they're going to feel through the visualization that you have, this visual piece of artwork that you've created, they're going to feel the four C's.
I hope they will.
Okay.
I mean, I felt it as I was painting. And as far as I'm concerned, for me as an artist and a creator, I want to be able to express these emotions, these feelings visually. And so, and also the connection, the interconnection between human beings and the universe.
Okay, so Dr. J, I want stuff that really works, okay? When you say that, are there exercises I can do? Tell me again about these four C's. Break them down.
Absolutely.
Because I want to be happier in 2020. It's an election year. There's going to be
the
country's already really divided. There's going to be a lot of folks that are feeling a lot of anger and anxiety. So what are these four C's, and how do I make it really work for me?
Yeah, so that's a great question, G. So the four C's again, first of all, is comfort. Self-care. This is so important. We all know the benefits of getting a good night's sleep, getting exercise and diet, but there's some things we actually can do just like very easily. And one of those things I jokingly call LSD, laugh, sing, and dance. So when you really are, I know, you're like after the weed intro, you guys are like, LSD? So LSD, we're finding in the brain science research, you can't laugh and be sad or depressed at the same time. There's something very powerful about laughter, which really is something we can all easily do. So even just singing and dancing, it really rewires your brain, restructures your brain. So I just say one thing to do for comfort. Even if you don't meditate, even if you don't know, if you can't get enough sleep, just find more times to do LSD in your life, laugh, sing, and dance. The second is contribution. I find that just very simple acts of making the world a better place. Where I live in Southern California, I do ocean swims. So every time I go to the beach, one thing I'm sure I always do is pick up three pieces of trash. on the beach. These are very simple things you can do. And believe it or not, just the very simple act of picking up a piece of trash, or even better, returning that shopping cart that you see that someone left in the parking lot that's taking up a space. These are very simple things you can do. And believe it or not, just the mere act of doing them rewires your brain, because you're doing something which is actually helping the world.
Well, that makes sense to me, because you hear about people that feel down in the dumps. And one of the recommendations that if you're feeling down is to say, hey, go out there and give back to somebody that's in a worse position than you are. And it really changes your perspective on
your own life. And I'd love to share with you some brain research which has come out. We've begun to understand something very powerful about the human brain. Our brain, my brain, everyone's brain, fundamentally evolved as a social organ. What do I mean by that? We're fundamentally evolved as social creatures. And so one thing, there's a system in the brain called the mirror neuron system, which I don't want to go into too much detail, but here's why I think it's so powerful. When you actually see someone pick up a piece of trash or do something kind, like, you know, let someone cut in through on the freeway, in your lane, there is a 60% chance in the next hour you will do a kind act to someone else. Isn't that amazing? Just opening the door for someone, saying hello to someone. If someone else sees that, like, oh, that reminds me, I should do something kind today as well. So I always think happiness, it's like a social contagion. There's something very powerful when you see someone do something that brings about happiness in the world. You do something, you're likely to do something yourself in the next, very short time.
Okay, what's the third C?
Connection. Oh my God, we can talk a whole show about just connection. So one thing you can do, if you have a family and you sit down at dinner, make a resolution one night a week at dinner, no technology at the table. We're finding that this actually has a very powerful negative impact on one's health, one's well-being. Connecting in real time, or even when you're just like, you're thinking about someone, hey, I'm really missing this friend, rather than texting them and saying how they're doing, pick up the phone, call them, and set up a time to meet for coffee or get together. There's something very powerful about the act of physical real-time connection over virtual connection.
And the final
That's one thing you can do. Compassion. You know, you spoke so eloquently about how we're coming into an election year. I find that when you can begin to understand that everyone laughs and laments in the same language, that we have far more in common that unites us than divides us. So one good example is during times of natural disasters, or after like 9/11 or Hurricane Katrina or anything like that, our natural instinct is to come to the aid and comfort of others. And we need to actually apply that principle, not just in times of strife or emergency, but learn to imbibe it in our daily life. And one thing that we can do to express compassion, or really build that compassion muscle in the brain, is to understand, one thing I do is, like, imagine the person that you maybe have some animosity towards. Imagine that person as an 8-year-old. And imagine, like, how everyone as an 8-year-old laughed and just really had that sense of commonality. And when we begin to focus on what brings us together, what unites us, this actually begins to rewire our brain and can help us overcome all the strife and political discord that we're seeing in our society today.
You know what? That's interesting. I actually do think about that, especially I think about how everybody that's born into this earth more than likely had parents that really loved them. Everybody started off as these cute, innocent, vulnerable babies.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're all, hopefully, if we are lucky enough to live a long life, also, we're all fighting against time. We're all headed in the same direction. So we're all on the similar path and journey. So I love that, visualizing someone as an 8-year-old. I think that's pretty awesome. So for you, Erica, how did you visualize maybe some of these concepts? How did you visualize connection and compassion? And did you try to actually paint what a brainwave looks like?
That's a great idea. No, I didn't paint a brainwave. However, what I did was I tapped into nature.
Got it.
And I tapped into water. You know, one of the series that I have had around the world, I've had shows, is called I Flow Like Water. And we have to learn to go with the punches, to go with whatever comes at you, and you have to let it go through you. And one of my favorite quotes was by someone that you wouldn't think about, Bruce Lee, when he was teaching his martial arts, he would say, you can't resist. You have to flow like water. Let it go through you. And so for me, it's about water. It's about the sky. It's about the light. And it's about bringing the light out of the darkness.
Now, Dr. J and Erica, you are going to have an event together.
Yes.
Right? So can you give us the details on the event? Because we're running out of time.
Okay. So tomorrow night we have the opening. People will be coming in and they're going to see the art show. Dr. J will be signing his book, Science of a Happy Brain. And we also have a special guest, John St. Augustine, who's going to be doing a little interview session with us, and we're going to be filming it. And it's going to be a question and answer with the audience tomorrow. And I do want to just add one more thing, and I know we don't have too much time. I had written a poem called A Time to Heal, and the last stanza of it was, I have one wing, you have another, together we can fly. And thinking about the politics and the election year this year, about everyone, I thought you might like that.
And your website, and is there a cost to attend?
There's no cost, it's free.
And your website?
The website is HiltonAsmus.com, HiltonAsmus.com.
And that's the name of Erica Hilton's gallery in River North. Thank you so much for being with us. And also thank you to the happiness professor, Dr. Kumar. I'm going to check out your book. I'm excited about four C's. We all could use a little bit more happiness. So thank you so much to the both of you and Happy New Year. But right now it's time to check in with the WGN Newsroom. The Anna DeValenta Show. Anna is taking the day off. This is G filling in for Anna today and tomorrow. Anna will be back next week. She's taking some much-deserved family time off. Jasmine, I didn't even ask you. How was your break?
It was good. It was really good.
You left me for a solid week and a half.
I went to Atlanta, yes, to visit a couple of friends of mine.
So you got some warm weather. But it was warm though. You missed out on some warm weather.
I know. It was just the same. I'm like, why did I leave Chicago now? To escape what? But then I came back today and I was like, yeah, I want to go back. It's like 52 degrees.
Of course, now today it's colder. But at least the sun is out. That's the thing that gets me. Okay, so joining me in studio right now is comedian Rosebud Baker.
Hello.
Rosebud, I love your name.
Thank you.
You get asked about it a lot.
I do. Well, you know what I get a lot is people saying, oh, is it like the sled from Citizen Kane? And I can't. It's at this point when people start into that, I just start rolling my eyes and like throwing my hands up like I'm Judge Judy or something. I can't. But yeah, it's just my parents were hippies and then they started paying taxes.
Yes. That's a very cool name. I'm sure a lot of film guys probably are like, I'm going to impress her. And like, it's a nice way to hit on you or something. I don't know.
It's so funny, too, because I hate that movie. I've fallen asleep in that movie 5 times.
It's required in Film Studies 101, right?
Yeah. It is like a masterpiece film wise, but it's truly horrible. Like it moves very slowly.
Well, you are here in Chicago. Welcome to Chicago.
Thank you.
At least the sun shines out today.
It's so nice out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you live full time in New York.
I go back and forth between New York and LA.
Okay. So you're living that Hollywood life.
I'm going back and
dual
forth.
Dual coast.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
You're going to be at Zany's, 1548 North Wells, from January today, right?
Yes.
You got a show today. What time is the show?
Today, it's at 8. First show's at 8, and then there's a second show at 10, I think.
Okay.
And check then you're the website. But
be there till the 5th.
Yes.
Wow, so a lot of shows. You're a big deal. You have an Amazon Video docuseries called Inside Jokes.
Mm-hmm.
You've roasted Alec Baldwin.
Mm-hmm. I was a writer on that roast, yeah.
And you're going to be a headliner involved in Comedy Central Clusterfest.
I did that last year,
Yeah. And then you have a podcast called Two Less Lonely Girls.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You do a lot of work with Comedy Central.
Yeah, I have a new show coming out with them called The Ringers on January 10th that is Bill Burr picked out a bunch of comics that he likes, and I got to do that, and it was awesome. So, and I'm super excited about it. Yeah.
So tell me about your work in terms of writing new material. Mm-hmm. What do you pull from? And tell me what...
It's so funny.
Inspires you.
Well, it's funny because if I tell you what inspires me, it's going to sound sad, but...
Doesn't all comedy start with some sadness?
It kind of does for me. I mean, some people are just more silly. I like to take from darker material. I like to take from the darker things that have happened in my life and kind of find the humor in them. It's sort of my way of like getting back at God. And then, and I think there's a little bit of political observational stuff in there too. But mostly it's personal experience. And that's pretty much it for me.
So a lot of stand up about and material about dating.
Mm-hmm. Kinda. Yeah. There's plenty out there for sure. I've done a couple sets now. Earlier this year, I was doing a set about dating again because I went through a breakup, and I was like, there was a lot there.
Always a lot to pull from.
For sure.
Did you ever do any online dating?
No, it's not really my thing. I know
it seems to be that's got to be a source of a ton of material there
for sure. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I love your tweets. One of the tweets said, I'll never forget the day I put on my glasses and for the first time in my life saw the world and all the people in it with 100% clarity. I threw the glasses away.
Yeah, I was thinking that the other day. I think I wrote that when I was on a plane. Because it was just like a bunch of human beings that I was like, I got to get out of here. You know, you see the worst of people at the airport. They really show you the worst part of themselves.
We've been talking about that throughout. Of course, you know, the holidays are a huge travel week. So we've been asking listeners to send in their pet peeves about being on an airplane.
Oh, yeah.
What are some of your pet peeves about traveling?
Oh, God, this is going to sound heartless, but I truly wish that people would remember before they bring a child on a plane that no one else on the plane loves their child. I just want them to know, because it's like they have these like screaming children. And I know that like babies should be used to tight spaces, considering that's like where they've lived. But I just can't. Babies should not be allowed on planes, I don't think. I just think they should drive.
So you're a proponent of babies having their own flights.
Babies should have their own planes. I think it'd be fun for them. Yeah. You know, and at the same time, I'm saying that as like somebody who brings a service dog with me. So, you know, I'm a huge hypocrite.
Wait, you have a service dog?
My dog Charlie is a service dog, yeah.
How big is Charlie? What type of dog?
He's 30 pounds.
That's a big, yeah.
Yeah. He's like a border collie mix. He's very, very sweet, very quiet. It's almost like his personality is like if Lyme disease was a dog, you know? Like he's so tired all the time. But I love that. It's perfect for me because I'm so like
energetic.
Yeah.
Is it exhausting being your service dog?
I'm sure it is for him. Maybe that's why he's so tired.
So now where does he go on the plane? Does he just sort of sit at your feet?
Yeah, he sits between my feet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's he's
fantastic.
A good boy.
How do you feel about service animals that, you know, there's a woman that tried to bring a squirrel onto a plane?
Yeah. I those people need more than an animal to help them. That's my take on it.
Well, I know that a lot of people that are listening, Rosebud's a comedian. That's why she's joking about the baby.
Yeah, and just so you know, I'm not pushing legislation.
Right. Does it make it better when the parents bring, of course, then we know that the parents are also in, they feel horrible that the baby's crying and it's awful for the parents
too. I know,
too.
Yeah.
But is it better if they bring you a little goodie bag? I've noticed that that's been happening on the planes.
What?
You've not seen this?
No.
So a lot of parents come prepared and they'll bring a little goodie bag of earplugs, maybe a little treat of some sort inside of it.
Uh-huh.
To say, and a little note that says, I'm so sorry that you're sitting next to us. Thank you for your patience.
That
and,
is so sweet.
Yeah, that's sweet. So maybe if parents did that, that would...
That
you know,
is really
that
kind.
Feel...
I mean, yeah, I don't know who came up with that, but they deserve like a Nobel Peace Prize. That's like genius.
Yes, I love that. Okay. So what did you do for New Year's Eve?
New Year's Eve, I was at the Comedy Store in Los Angeles judging Roast Battle, which is like a show about, it's where two comics go up and they insult each other in the form of jokes. It's all done in the spirit of love. And so we did that.
Okay, so Rosebud, for me, that would be absolutely terrifying. I know that. So do you have a competitive streak?
I do.
Okay.
I have four sisters.
Oh.
So, yeah.
And where do you fall in line?
I'm the oldest.
Okay. So mm-hmm. now I'm the oldest. That means you lead the way. They all look up to you.
I don't think they look up to me. I don't think I really lead the way very much either. I think all my sisters are very independent and they've all gone a completely different path. So I have one sister who's a nurse, one sister who does PR for an art gallery, one who does music. We're all over the map.
And of course you have one sister with you in studio.
I do.
Yes. So we're going to be talking to her after the break. We're going to see. I think she looks up to you. She wouldn't be here otherwise. So
she had no idea she was coming on the show. I can't wait to see that. This is,
we're going to ask her your opinion about how you've been doing. So. Now, were your parents cool with the fact that you wanted to be a comedian? Of course you're successful now, but I mean, imagine initially it's a tough life going to the creative arts.
Yeah, I think I tried to hide it for a little. I mean, I was an actor for a long time and they were supportive of that. Once I started doing comedy, for a while I just kind of kept it under wraps. Like, I think everybody knew that I was doing it, but I didn't like share my comedy with them, except for my sisters who I'm like super close to. But like, my parents, I didn't really send them my comedy. I didn't want them to see it. And now it's like they're supportive because I've been on TV.
You know what? That makes a world of difference. When your parents see you on television or listen to you on the radio, you've made it to mainstream.
Right.
And they feel, oh, okay, she's going to be okay. This is a legitimate job.
Yeah. I think somewhere deep inside of them, they just went, whew, you know, once they saw me making money doing it, they were like, okay, thank God.
That way they don't have to loan you money.
Right.
A lot more coming up with comedian Rosebud Baker, who's going to be at Zanies until January 5th. So keep it right here on WGN Radio. The Anna DeVellante Show. Anna's taking a day off, a much deserved break. And I'm Jisoo Ki filling in today. Also, we'll be here tomorrow. I'm joined by comedian Rosebud Baker. And no, it wasn't. She wasn't named after the film.
After the sled. Yeah.
Yes. And Citizen Kane.
Right. Ugh. Nothing.
Oh, my goodness. No relation. Time. Okay. So earlier in the show, I was talking about this trending. We have a segment at the end of the show where we talk about trending topics.
Yeah.
So this, I'm saving this for the end of the show, but I kind of wanted your take on it. I talked about it at the top of the hour. But basically, these are words that are going to be banished, words that should be banished for misuse, overuse, and general uselessness. Some of the words include artisanal, influencer, living my best life, jelly.
They want to ban influencer?
Yes, they do. Because it's overused. Don't you think it's overused?
Yeah, but I also feel like that's like how so many people are making their money. So how would they? Actually, that'd be amazing. If they banned influencer and then people just had to say, yeah, I just post pictures of my butt as my job. That would be amazing.
Living my best life. Oh, you're talking about those bikini pics. There are a lot of bikini pics out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The inspirational quotes. Mm-hmm. And here's my butt.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like, you don't have to be beautiful. Just, it's your inner beauty is what matters. And then it's like a photo of them.
I can see inside you.
It's a photo of them and they have a six pack.
Right.
They have, you know, they're gorgeous on the outside.
Yeah.
Okay. Another one is totes. Another one is literally, when you don't mean literally.
Oh God, I have such a problem with that. And then legit.
Oh, that's a good one. That one's not on the list. One is mouthfeel, and then
what? Mouthfeel?
Mouthfeel.
So I've never heard
mouth,
that.
The mouthfeel of it in your, like when you're tasting something, it has a mouthfeel of.
They say mouthfeel? Who says that? That's wild.
Maybe in writing.
That's unacceptable.
Well, yeah. And then Lauren Lapka, our fantastic traffic reporter, mentioned the word moist. She thinks that word should be banned.
Yeah, people don't like that word. It makes them uncomfortable. I kind of love it because it makes people uncomfortable.
Well, you like to make people uncomfortable because that's kind of your job, isn't it, as a comedian?
I mean, it's to make them laugh, but...
Oh, yes, true. But no, I mean...
That's generally the first thing. But I think a lot of people now are like... It's interesting. Comedy... People, I feel like comics have been complaining about this for years, like way before Trump was ever in office, where they go, oh, you know, people are too sensitive and blah, blah, blah. I think it's sort of like an age old, it's almost like a trope at this point. But I do think that sometimes you bring up stuff and people aren't comfortable laughing at it. You know, I talk about tragedies in my life on stage sometimes and people get... But there's funny things that happen. You know, there's some funny things about sad stuff that... that now, I like to talk about.
There's, you know, it depends on what type of comedy you're doing, but there's some comedians that really delve into the really dark, dark stuff that you feel uncomfortable laughing about, but you're laughing.
Yeah. And those are the kind of laughs that I love to get. I love to get a laugh from somebody who doesn't want to.
Ah, so you know? Is that the challenge? Now, you're going to be at Zany's for several nights. Mm-hmm. It looks, sounds like tonight you're doing two shows.
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing two shows every night or it varies?
There's three shows on Saturday.
Okay. So if someone's listening to you and they haven't heard your material, how can you describe your show?
I would say it's, I mean, I'm just sort of regurgitating what I've heard from other people, but that it's dry wit, sarcasm, dark material, and there's some silly stuff in there too. I think some commentary about like what's going on in the world. But for the most part, it's personal. That's how I would describe my comedy. It's just personal, you know. Like by the time my show's over, people know who I am. That's my kind of goal. After making them laugh, is just wanting them to know who I am and hopefully wanting to see more, you know.
Is your material the same every night or do you try different jokes?
You know, we all, I think comics, you know, everybody's different, but I try to shift it. I try to change things up a little bit. I generally, if I'm working on crafting an act, like crafting an hour, then I'll stick to the same thing. But for the most part, I like to see what works, what doesn't. Sometimes at one point in the show, I'll just go into an idea and mm-hmm. see what comes out of it.
So I didn't even know if it's appropriate to say jokes anymore, because when you're watching comedy specials, a lot of them are it's storytelling.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's jokes in there. But yeah, I hear what you're saying. Like there's a lot of biographical stuff in my act that, but here's the thing is like, I'm not a comic that can just go on stage and like be funny, you know, like I am a writer. I have to write the jokes. I have to know that the joke is going to work. And it's funny. There's like there's something about a joke that is like music where you can hear if it's going to laugh or if it's going to get a laugh before you even say it on stage.
So that's what I was going to ask you. How do you feel the crowd? Because each night it's different. Each performance, I'm sure it's different. You're doing multiple performances a day sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, do you ever lose your train of thought as well? Sometimes I lose my train of thought. So,
no, not really. That's the beautiful thing about being on stage is like it forces you to really be in the moment so that you're not like you're not going up there knowing exactly what's going to happen ever. So if you're really tied to making like having everything be in order, it's going to be a frustrating experience. But if you're able to like kind of play with the crowd and see where the crowd's at, sometimes you go on stage and the crowd is enjoying themselves, like, but they're just so polite that they won't like laugh, but you can tell that they're enjoying themselves. So you're like, what is going on here? And it's almost like I want to tell them all to get drunk, you know? other times you'll have a crowd that's so raucous and rowdy that you're like, I can't even get through my material right now. Like I just have to talk to these people to try to wrangle them in.
Calm them down.
Yeah. And that becomes the challenge, is just like controlling the room.
So Chicago's a big comedy town, of course. Mm-hmm. What are some rules that you wish people would participate in? What are some things you wish that you could tell an audience to do?
If there's one thing that I could tell an audience to do, all audiences, regardless of the town that they're in, is like stop recording comedians when they're on stage.
Okay, so that is definitely a pet peeve of yours.
That is a pet peeve of every single comic that ever did stand up, is like, a lot of times we're on stage, we're workshopping stuff, we are...
So it's not finished yet.
It's not finished.
You don't want it out there for the world
to see. Yeah, because sometimes I'll tell a joke that's in progress, and it doesn't get a laugh, and it's like, because it's not done, and then it just sounds like something I believe. And that's like my nightmare, is like people thinking that my jokes are things that I believe,
because
you know?
Because when you're doing your stand-up, even though it's a show that folks are paying money to go to, it's still a way for you to workshop your material.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So it's put like, your phones away.
Yeah. Put your phones away. If you like need to, you can take a boomerang. Like that's it. I wouldn't, a photo is fine. But like for the most part, I don't, if people have their phones out, I'll stop doing material. I'll just stop. I'll just start talking to the crowd instead.
Wow. So I know that there are listeners right now who want to do what you do. They mm-hmm. want to break into comedy. They want to be a writer on a show.
Yeah.
How did you get to be a writer on a show?
I don't know. I wish I could tell you. It's like, I started comedy when I was like, I just had a really bad year. All right. I was really sad.
You're like Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. You had a bad year. Your life was falling apart and you found yourself on stage.
Yeah, it kind of was like that. And then I became addicted to it. I kept going every single night. I just kept going to do these open mics and I kept working at getting funnier. And then after a while, it just kind of like took over my life. All my friends were comics. It was where I was spending all of my time.
So networking.
Yeah. And just, yeah, networking, getting on stage every single night. I mean, the networking, that sort of comes from that. But the number one priority is getting on stage every night, working on your act, you know, recording your sets, listening to them, and then punching them up.
Well, we have a couple of minutes left, and your sister is in studio with you. I'm going to get her on the mic because I promised that I would.
Yeah. She had no idea she was getting on the mic today, right? By the way. It's going to be a real thrill.
Yeah, that works just fine. And your sister's name?
Jackie.
Okay, Jackie. All right. One of four sisters. So I've got two of you here.
Yeah.
So Jackie, what did you think of Rosebud when she started doing the stand-up comedy thing?
I was a little worried, I'd say.
Now, was she a funny kid, like, growing up?
She has always been funny. I just remember, I think our relationship was a little different than the rest of our sisters. I've definitely always had more fun with Rosebud than my other siblings, and I was, like, a crazy little kid, too. We're 10 years apart, and she definitely fueled some of, you know, she was, like, one of the only family members that I had that I feel like didn't try to like simmer me down.
Yeah. Yeah. She's the only other sister that I have that's like an artist. So the two of us together were kind of a troublemaking duo. Like that was, or what is it called in psychological terms when they call, the scapegoat.
That's or the black sheep?
Yeah. Well, like, yeah, we're like the people in the family that people are like, oh, well, it was probably Rosie or Jackie that did this.
They blame
you know, if something's broken, they'll be like, it was probably Rosie or Jackie. I remember one night we crashed two golf carts in a lake sober.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that was on a Thanksgiving because we had nothing to do.
Golf carts are expensive.
Yeah, they are.
Did you have to pay it off?
Yeah, I had to pay it off myself.
She took the fall. It was technically my fault.
It was her fault, but she had already crashed a golf cart earlier that year and put somebody in the hospital.
Oh no!
So I had to pay my dad for. Is this okay that I'm saying this?
I mean, you already.
I already said it. Anyway, so yeah, and then we used our stepmom's car to try to tow these golf carts out of the lake, and Jackie drove it backwards into the golf carts so that we had crashed two golf carts and our stepmom's car in one night sober. And it was like probably one of the best Thanksgivings of my life, I'm going to be honest.
Listeners, if you have a better golf cart story, I dare you to share it with me. 312-981-7200. Just text it to me. I can take phone calls at the end of the show today at 2:45. I'm also going to take calls and text messages on the banned words that should be banned. But Jackie is in studio because you live in Chicago. So you're going to go see your sister perform.
I will. Yeah, I'm definitely going on Saturday. I'll probably hang out with her tomorrow night, too. So,
yeah.
Well, thank you so much to a comedian, Rosebud Baker, also to her sister, Jackie, who is a local Chicagoan. And not only are you a great comedian who's going to be performing at Zany's tonight through January 5th, you're also a really great big sister. So thank you so much for being here with you. Paying off those golf cart accidents. Oh, my goodness. You must have a lot of money.
I'm loyal.
All right. A lot more coming up on WGN Radio. This is the Anna DeVellante Show. I'm Ji Suk Yi, filling in for Anna today and tomorrow. I'm very happy because full-time producer Jasmine Cooper is back with us.
I'm here.
Yes, you know what? You shouldn't have been gone for a week and a half, young lady.
Sorry. Kidding.
No, you deserved a break. I'm just teasing you. I'm just happy that you're back.
Aww.
Appreciate everything that you do and appreciate all the fill-in producers that were here with me last week as well. You know, the radio just keeps on going 24/7. There are no breaks. Yep, nonstop. And, of course, we've got some more information for you at 2 o'clock now at the top of the hour. We've got Akila Easter here. She is a lifestyle and etiquette coach. And I do feel that people have lost the fine art of etiquette. Mm-hmm. It's going to the wayside.
Well, most people don't realize that they need etiquette until they're in an embarrassing situation.
True.
When they're out eating with their boss and they're eating very rudely and their boss is like, oh, okay.
Akila, I remember as a little girl, my mom sitting me down and showing me what a place setting looked like.
Yes, my grandmother.
And telling me what fork to use for the salad. I mean, this was before, long before. I was probably in middle school.
Yeah.
It was long before I was going to be invited to anything fancy. Mm-hmm. But there were all these little mini forks and this fork and butter knife and how to place your knife on your plate.
Right.
And I think these are things, I know parents are so busy. And I think part of it is just everyone's hectic schedule, but sometimes you forget about it because we're living in an increasingly casual world.
Yes. And if people are saying we're too politically correct, we have to do, like, those things are passe. But why would you learn the wrong way? So if you start to teach your kids at a young age, they know no other way. And that's how it came out in me as an adult, because I hated charm. My mom dropped me off at charm schools, like, go in there, you little tomboy.
You were a tomboy.
Oh, I still am. But I know how to switch it up, right? So that's what my mom wanted me to learn how to do. She's like, if you want to wear these Jordans, you also have to learn how to wear these heels. You know, those different types of things.
Well, it's fascinating because one area that my mother didn't go over with me as well was sort of finances. And I think these are all aspects that as parents, you have to really think about with your child. Mm-hmm. Etiquette, making sure you're preparing them for being out in the world. The earlier you start, the better. And then finances as well. Mm-hmm. On top of the education that they're getting in school. And then on top of that, the arts as well.
The finances would be the worst situation to have to learn from, right? So until you're in a bad situation, do you have to understand how to manage your finances? I include that in my teenage etiquette. When kids are getting prepared for college, those different types of things, I show them how to budget. I know kids who don't know how to write a check. I know we don't write checks anymore, but just teaching them these basic skills.
And just in case the listener isn't familiar with you, mm-hmm. You used to be a biology professor.
I still am a biology professor.
Okay.
Yes. So, you
certified personal trainer.
Yes.
You also are certified in yoga fit.
Yes. Yes.
You wear many hats.
Yes. I think that's our generation, to be honest. I talked to my mom and she's like, you do a lot. I'm like, yes, our previous generation probably had the same job for 35 years. And I decided anything that I was interested in, I want to be a master of it. I know they're saying a jack of all trades, master of none, but I am a jack of all trades and I've mastered the majority of them.
But you do have a etiquette school
mm-hmm.
and
yes.
people can sign up for that. And where do they go?
They go to my website and I have my classes at different locations. My next one is a mother-daughter etiquette. It's more of a bonding experience where I teach tea time. So we do the little tea time. We also go through proper table settings and we focus on self-esteem, which is a lot of things that mother and daughters don't talk about, where your mom has the same insecurities probably that you have, but mom chooses not to talk to daughter about it. And then that causes the daughter to think that she's the only one out there.
I love this class because for some reason, it just brought to mind Jada Pinkett Smith
and her mother and her daughter and the whole red table talk.
Yeah, I love that. That's very, very key. Okay, so let's get started on our discussion. We're going to be talking a little bit about, there was a guy that listed a bunch of his pet peeves for 2020.
Yes.
But I know we just got finished with the holidays. That's a big time for engagements.
Yes, that's all I saw. I'm a little bitter, so I'll let that go. Okay. I'm like, I don't know if I'm just hypersensitive to it because I'm not.
After a while, you get over it. I'm over it now. I've never been engaged. Yeah. I've never gotten to post a picture of myself with a wedding band.
Whatever. Good job.
I'm actually happy for people when they do that. Now, at this point, honestly, if I did finally get engaged and married, I'm just eloping.
Yeah, I'm not telling anybody.
No,
I'm not posting. I'm not doing anything.
Please, anybody listening, don't be upset that you're not invited to the wedding. I'm just going to keep it simple because I get invited to too many weddings. I spent too much money on presents at this point.
Oh, I stopped. I said, I'm no longer going to be in weddings. I said 5 years ago, I'm no longer going to be in wedding parties.
And I don't want to bother anybody. I'm just going to go off, elope, and come back and save a bunch of money that I don't have anyway to spend on the wedding.
Because all you're going to say is finally.
Okay.
But yeah.
So, yes, let's talk talk about it. Let's talk about etiquette for proposals and trends. Mm-hmm. So
a lot of people, their immediate response is to post, and people are filming this proposal. But you have to consider that the person who's getting proposed to may not have had the opportunity to tell their family. And imagine if their family found out on social media before they got the chance to tell them.
They would be so offended.
Yeah, that would hurt my feelings. So, and I hate seeing, I know the previous guest was talking about cell phones everywhere. I hate seeing cell phones in the video, 10 cell phones lighting up. I'm like, what are you going to do with this video footage? Are you going to keep looking at it? Like, there's one person should be assigned to film it if you want to catch it in that way. And then tell them don't post it until that person feels comfortable sharing.
That is the worst, because if you're watching this engagement video and you want it to look back on down the road,
right,
the last thing you want is somebody in the background with, you know, or multiple
trying
people
to get a shot. Like, I'm like, excuse me, this
stay
is my proposal.
Out of the shot. Yes. You almost need sort of a TV producer there to say, stay out of the shot. Only one person.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's no cell phone weddings now. So there's signs where you can say at the beginning, please no cell phones. We have a professional photographer. We'll share our images within the next few weeks.
Absolutely. Because the bride and groom want to share the photos they feel comfortable in sharing and they look good in.
Yeah. And please don't get an ugly shot of me and post it on social media. You are not a real friend if that
happens. As someone who has been tagged in the worst photos of myself on Facebook and Instagram, I cringe at this point now. I'm like, okay, this is
I all need approval for all social media posts.
These are all the faces of G. Now I'm like, okay, I get it. It's fine. Some days I have very rough days.
Yes. It's not,
not as attractive.
I understand. I am not a photogenic person. I'm like, meet me in person.
I need
meet
angles.
Yes.
I need lighting.
And I need a few minutes to get ready.
Right. Okay, some other etiquette involved with the engagements.
So from the other side of people asking, how much did the ring cost? How many carats is this?
Inappropriate.
Yes, very inappropriate.
It's inappropriate even to ask how many carats.
Yeah, it kind of is because you're trying to allude with the amount of carats, you're trying to figure out the price as well. So, I mean, I would just tell a person, if you're that into trying to figure out how many carats, look at the ring and go Google it. You don't have to ask that question, because say it's not the amount of carats that you want to discuss out loud. Maybe you're not as happy with your ring, so it could kind of be embarrassing.
Okay, so Akilah, here's another question about photos from the engagement.
Yes.
A lot of people post a close-up photo of the ring. Is that something that you recommend?
I don't, because you're going to get those questions of how much did it cost? You're going to get the negative comments, and that's all that's going to stick out. A lot of people are going to congratulate you, say the ring is beautiful, but there's going to be that one great aunt that's going to say, oh, that's sweet. You know, something to that effect to bring it down.
There's always an auntie that does that for you. And there's also going to be an auntie that's offended if you didn't call her before the news broke, which is what you touched on.
You're never going to win with that. So I would not do a zoom in. Make sure you get that insured and just make sure you don't have to do that. It's kind of like a show-off-y kind of concept. And it's a newer concept with social media.
So even though you're really nosy and you want to know, don't ask how much the ring cost, obviously. But also don't ask how many carats it is.
Because you're asking the same question, in a sense, when you're asking how many carats it was.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to talk about weed etiquette and also an article that you saw about a guy addressing pet peeves. And I think these pet peeves,
they need to stop.
Yes.
They need to stop.
Yes. You felt alignment with him.
I thought I was the only one. Yes.
Got it. Okay. And if you have pet peeves of your own that you want to see stopped in 2020, be sure to text us at 312-981-7200. Okay. So a lot more coming up with Akilah on WGN Radio. Welcome back to the Anna DeVellante Show. We have lifestyle expert Akilah Easter in studio with us. Akilah just went over some to-dos and do-nots when it comes to talking about and posting your engagement photos, which happened a lot over the holidays. Something else that happened over the holidays is heading home and seeing family members.
Yes.
That have a lot of questions for you.
They're the nosiest. I love them. I love them. They got a lot of questions.
It sounds like you're trying to convince yourself over there, Akilah.
You saw me stare off. I stare off for a second.
So this was brought up because there was a guy that posted an article about his pet peeves that he wants this to stop in 2020.
He actually stood in the middle of New York City and held these different signs of what annoyed him. And you could tell people felt him as they walked by the signs that he had made. The first thing he said, like I said, I love my family, but please stop asking me if I'm single. When am I getting married? All those different things. I'll bring them home. I promise.
You just can't. can't win because I've been both. I've been single and mm-hmm. I've been with someone when I go home. And mm-hmm. if you're single, then it's, well, why are you single? A pretty and smart girl like you. You seem to have a good job.
That's what I ask myself every night.
Translated basically into what is wrong with you. Because on the outside, you look pretty good, but something's clearly got to be defective about you because you're single still. Yeah. And I've gone home when I'm with somebody and mm-hmm. they say, well, when are you, I mean, you're getting older. When are you thinking about having a family?
It's always 10 steps. Yeah.
You know, you've got the biological clock there ticking. I'm like, as though I didn't know, as though I didn't hear it loudly every day of my life. But anyway, continue with this pet peeve list.
That's the response they get from me is bless your heart. You know, that's what we say down south is bless your heart.
That's very sweet. I also grew up down south in North Carolina. So,
okay, yes. I'm a Texas girl. My father's from Texas. Yes.
That makes sense. Yeah, we have competing barbecues. You know that, right?
But yeah, you know.
Happy to be in Chicago. Chicago has that. The taste, a touch of the South in it too.
Yeah, there's
some
restaurants that try to compete, and there are the personalities that down south. Yeah,
love it,
definitely. Yeah. One of the things that you can see when you're flying is when people are, why are people standing up when the plane lands? That is not going to expedite anything. It's not going to speed the process up.
Oh my goodness. I know listeners can relate. That is one of my pet peeves. Yes. In fact, if you are somebody that stands up, and maybe it's a medical issue, maybe your leg's asleep, maybe you need mm-hmm. to stand up, but you're going to be standing up for a long time.
Thank you.
And then sometimes you can't, for the really tall folks, they can't stand up all the way.
Right.
They got to kind of hunch over at this point. Your body is bending in ways it shouldn't.
And the rows are still going to get dismissed the same way.
Right.
You're not going to pass anybody on that little aisle.
No.
I know you want, I mean, I understand the standing up and stretching, but not standing up ready to go. Like, I don't understand that.
Yes.
Yeah. When we're taxiing, it's going to take a good 20 minutes. Yeah.
It really will. It's I just sit there. I know it's exhausting because especially after you've been on a long flight, you want to get off the plane, but it doesn't help.
Yeah, I don't understand that process, but I know some people are just antsy. And then even if I could even piggyback off of that, when people rush you in a line, they're kind of like right behind you in a line thinking that's going to speed up the line. Like at the grocery store, I felt that this morning. I was like, sir, I'm trying to get my money out and you're not going to, it's not going to move any faster if you're right behind me.
Especially if you're at an ATM,
yes.
I think you should
give me some
have
space.
The courtesy and give the space. Now, granted, I actually made that faux pas once, not at the ATM. I was in line at the grocery and I just wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
And I just didn't realize I was exhausted because I was trying to get all my holiday shopping done. And I didn't realize how close I was to the woman in front of me. So if she's listening, I'd like to apologize. And I think she gave me a dirty look and a big sigh. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry.
But you need to give your personal space. Yeah, that's a major thing with etiquette is people think it's just more table settings, but it's self-awareness, concerned with those around you. But we do get tired sometimes.
But
yeah.
Not only that, though, Keila, it is self-awareness, but I shouldn't use being on my phone as an excuse because sometimes I'm so distracted and I'm just looking at my phone. I'm not paying attention to what I'm doing mm-hmm. and that's bad on me and I need to do better.
And that's something that I challenge myself this year. I don't say resolution, but I challenge myself this year is to, when I'm in public, I'm going to go back to like 1994 and not be on my phone. You know, I'm going to try to do that.
Second person that said that you don't like the word resolution. Why is that?
Because it's too much pressure to where you get disappointed if you feel like you're failing after January 30th. You feel like you've already failed.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So I just like to make actual changes. Like I used to be a personal trainer. And when I tell people about dieting, I don't believe in dieting. You have to actually change your eating habits.
Well, you know what? I always want to work out more.
Mm-hmm.
And this year I decided I feel the pressure of the new year as well.
Yes.
And I find New Year's Eve to be the most anticlimactic holiday of all. It's great. It's fantastic. But truthfully, it's another day and I'm not going to be a different person magically overnight. So I decided to start working out earlier. So I started at the beginning of December. So I'm trying to go at least twice a week.
Okay.
But anyway, so I agree with you. But I digress. I took you off track.
No.
To this pet peeve list.
And stop posting entire concerts to your social medias. Like I'm not enjoying this bad sound of the concert. It's great that you got those front row seats. I'm glad you got that. But streaming the whole concert is not beneficial to anybody on your timeline.
I always wonder about that when I go to concerts because the whole time you're not watching the concert, you're just staring at your viewfinder and your phone
and you're watching the concert through your phone.
Right. And are you going to go home and watch it again? I don't get that connection of why you're recording it.
So do you think it's because of bragging rights?
Yes. To let people know where you are. Definitely.
Well, it's so funny because we just had comedian Rosebud Baker in studio, and she said she doesn't like them because comedians don't want to be recorded.
Right.
I think a lot of artists don't want to be.
Yeah. And I think there's even artists who have sued people who have posted their entire songs from a concert on social media. So there's some legal ramifications with that, but I just don't understand the point. And then I have to reflect back, like, what did I enjoy about concerts 15 years ago?
I'm just curious if there's a listener that recorded an entire concert on their phone and if they ended up watching it again at a later date. Because it's true, even my photos, I don't go back and look at my photos a lot of the time.
I'm not going back to look at them. Right.
Okay. Go ahead. Another pet peeve.
And this even goes with the, if you are on dating apps, stop posting group pictures as your profile pics on your dating apps. I can't figure out who you are. Which one are you? Is it your cute friend or is it you?
As someone who has been on a dating app before, I'm not going to say which
one.
Yes,
I have been on one.
Akilah is currently on this. Yes. You want to mention which one?
No, I'm
just kidding.
Say
no. Akilah, you have nothing to worry about. You're absolutely stunning.
Thank
and
you.
And beautiful on the inside too. But anyway, point being, also don't post photos of yourself with your ex-girlfriend. Or for me, that's what I would see.
Or even with your old wedding ring, if it's your old wedding ring.
Oh, my goodness. And then a lot of times people will black out whoever the person's face is. And I'm like, that doesn't help. I still know that that's an ex. And that's weird.
And it says something about your use of technology, too.
Right.
Because it's saying that you probably don't take a lot of pictures of yourself. It actually says a lot more than what you think it does when you're posting these different types of things.
How much care and thought have you put into this actual posting?
Why don't you have a picture by yourself in 2020? You know, those different types of things.
Fascinating.
Another. I take it a little the psychology of it a little bit more. And don't post with your little toddler kids. I don't want, they shouldn't be on the dating apps.
Yeah. No, I think maybe sometimes they want you to know that they have children.
Yeah,
but
just put that in the byline. Yeah.
Smart. Very good. Also, you don't want pictures of your little kids floating out.
Right.
There.
Or sometimes they just have their pets as the main picture. I'm like, okay, I know you're a dog lover, but I want to see you.
But the problem with the dog photos, sorry, this is going to my pet peeve, on the dating apps, it's, for example, well, I'm a girl and I'm looking, you know, usually on the app, I'm looking for a guy because I'm heterosexual, but depending on whatever. People always post photos, especially guys, with their dogs.
Yeah.
And it's every photo has the dog.
Yeah,
in it.
Then I get concerned.
I am.
Yeah.
So then I think
you have
five pictures
with the dog.
Is this clickbait? You just want me to know that you love animals.
Will
and
I
that,
have a place in your heart, or is the dog number
that's
one?
That's what I look that's like. What it looks I, like yeah. dog is number one.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Okay, another pet peeve.
Stop replying all to company-wide emails. I actually teach this in my business etiquette, especially if it's just a yes. You know, if you're just replying, if they ask a question and then everybody has to hear, you have 10 yeses coming back. Yeah, those notifications are not good.
What about group texting?
I had to turn one off yesterday. I had to give people, please don't group text me and then everybody replies all. You should reply to the person you want to respond to. Probably is the person who initiated the initial text.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yeah. Akilah, any more before you move on to weed etiquette?
I forgot. That's what the weed does. No, I'm just kidding.
Any more pet peeves on
this? No. Just work. I mean, self-awareness is a major thing. And I think some of these things are when we fall off and we lack a little self-awareness.
Mm-hmm. Whether it's purposeful or not.
Yes.
But let's be
There's
a little
no
bit more.
There's no excuses in 2020, as I say.
No excuses.
I feel like Barbara Walters.
That sounds like a personal trainer. And you are a certified personal trainer.
Yes, yes.
I can just see one yelling at me.
No excuses.
Okay. So let's talk about weed etiquette.
Okay.
It is now legal to buy recreational marijuana here in Illinois. So,
and we have a lot of rules that we have to abide by. But I don't think that it's going to be a huge thing. A lot of people are concerned about the smell or the odor of marijuana. Most people who were smoking before are going to be the same people that you smelled and were smoking after. It's not that suddenly people like, oh, marijuana is legal. Now all these new smokers are going to come out. I think people are just coming out of the dark, right? So I think that's what's really going on. But you do want to be aware of I do not like loud smells of marijuana when I'm in public, where I have to explain it to my daughter. I have a 4-year-old. She's like, what's that smell, mommy? I'm like, well, it's this new thing that you should not do right now. You know, trying to explain these different things. I don't think people are aware of how strong they're, because they're so, their nose has been accommodated to it. So they don't know how strong it is.
So let's say you're at a house party, you're smoking. Mm-hmm. You should definitely go outside to smoke.
Yeah, just like, I think it's the same etiquette that we had when we were smoking cigarettes in the club. Do you remember that? When you had to wash everything immediately. So I remember those nights and I hated that. So I think we should have the same etiquette. You're not blowing smoke on people, those different types of things. If it's edibles, make sure you have a clear identification. If you're having a party, please don't mix it and clearly label these are edibles and these are regular brownies, for instance.
Now, is there a proper way to offer partaking of edibles or of smoking?
Right. I think you should just like any other dish at a party. Oftentimes, if people are invited to your house, they know the type of person you are. Not saying that it's a bad person or something to that effect, but they know who you are. So they can kind of anticipate what's going to happen. So I just do, just like I do any other dish, I label these, hey, you want to make sure these stay out of the way. And I probably won't put these out. I'll probably put them somewhere and those who are seeking them will request it.
And of course, those edibles are much more potent, so which is why you need to make sure that they're clearly labeled. Okay.
Right.
So, Akilah Easter, lifestyle expert and etiquette coach, thank you so much for being here.
No problem.
Can you give us your website one more time?
Sure. It's Akilah CT. It's my first and middle name, AKILAHSITI.com. I have a mother-daughter etiquette class coming up on January 25th. I have 2 more slots left, so please make sure you check out my site and the class.
Thanks for being with us, Akilah. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Right now, it's time to check in with the WGN Newsroom. G here on the Anna DeVellante Show. So what have I been asking you for this the past hour and a half? I've been asking you about pet peeves. What are some pet peeves that you want to make sure are completely over with in 2020. Also was asking about any good golf cart stories, because comedian Rosebud Baker told us a very good golf cart story. She had to pay off the cost of 2 golf carts that her sister drove into a lake. Also, at the top of the show, and this is what's going to be trending, are words that you believe should be banned. In Michigan, a university just released a 45th annual list of words banished from the Queen's English for misuse, overuse, and general uselessness. Some of those words include artisanal, influencer, living my best life. I think adding to that, I should mention gratitude. Hashtag gratitude is a little bit annoying, too. I don't know. What do you think, Ryan?
Gratitude's always good.
It is good. But then what if it's hashtag gratitude? I'm here in the Cayman Islands.
Yeah. What are you doing in the Cayman Islands?
Humble brag.
Humble brag. That's a big one right there. Yep.
Other words include jelly, totes. You know what? I can take some calls in the next segment. So around 2:45, if you want to give me a call, 312-981-7200. Any pet peeves that you want to make sure no longer happen in 2020, and also words that should be banished. But right now we have Ryan Burrow. Intrepid newsman extraordinaire.
Talking about some changes here in 2020.
Fill us in.
Yeah, you know, obviously the recreational marijuana thing has taken up a lot of our attention in Illinois, but nationwide there have been some changes that have gone on as well. In fact, one thing that's taken a lot of people by surprise is when President Trump signed the new spending package, the $1.4 trillion spending package at the end of last month, it included inside of it the raising of the minimum age to buy nicotine and tobacco products to 21. We already had that here in Illinois. In fact, about 20 states already did, but states like Indiana, Wisconsin did not have that. They were still at 18. The thought was this was going to be a long, slow process, about 9 months, and then there was going to be a 90-day implementation of it once everything was finalized so that everyone could get trained up and all the businesses could figure things out. Well, over the holiday break, the FDA dropped on their website that this is effective now.
Really?
So you've got a lot of liquor stores, gas stations, convenience stores in Wisconsin trying to figure out, okay, I sold cigarettes to a kid who was 18 a few days ago. Now that same kid comes back here, I can't sell, and I keep saying kid, relatively right. speaking, an 18-year-old man or woman, but I can't sell to them, so I've got to turn them away now. So it's left these retailers in a really interesting position because they don't know how to respond yet, and you know, they kind of want some clarity.
Wow. So just to follow up on the legal weed sales, and I don't know if you know this off the top of your head because I'm kind of throwing this at you. How much do you know how much money it's taking to open up a recreational marijuana?
I do not know how much the licenses cost. Steve Bertrand, if you're there, I don't know if that was something that Toy talked about.
You know what? He stepped away.
Stepped away. Okay.
No, but it's just so that everybody wants to get involved with it because it sounds like so much money.
Well, did you hear about all that money that came in? I mean, we had someone on earlier that said that, you know, 400% the normal rate they were selling when it was medicinal. So, I mean, it was insane. Now, we could see this kind of drop off here a little bit in the coming days and weeks and months, but yeah, it's definitely a money grab, and it's not just the businesses. Obviously, there are a lot of politicians sitting back right now going ka-ching, 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 right? Because a lot of that money will be coming back as tax revenue.
Absolutely, yeah. So what else is going on?
You know, there's some other states that had some pretty interesting things in New Jersey. Employers can no longer ask you when you apply for a job how much money you made at your last job or any job for that matter. It's a way to kind of protect you. Some states already have that policy in place.
I think that's always it depends. If you were making a ton of money, then you can say, hey, this is how much I was worth. This is my old company thought this about me. But if you weren't and you're looking, and usually you're moving jobs because you want to better your circumstances.
Sure.
You want it to be a better and more lucrative situation for yourself,
yeah.
Whether it's with happiness or with, being a better fit at the company that you're moving to. But you also want more money.
We always come when you get a job or you're applying for a job, there comes that awkward moment where, you know, the employer finally says, okay, how much money are we talking about, right?
And, can and I
you
kinda, pad it with
you
a kinda, couple?
You might slide like a notepad across the table or something like that because, you know, it's difficult because you want to make as much money as you can and they don't want to pay you as much money. You know what I mean?
Right.
They want to try to lowball and you want to try to highball, if you
I'd
will.
Rather just say, well, what do you think I'm worth? And then they tell you. And if it's super low, then you can say, wow, that's even lower than I got paid before. What I was making before. So then you have a counter.
Yeah.
But again, you don't want to, you know, let the cat out of the bag first.
Yeah. Well, you know, we all have our own strategies in dealing with that. And some of us are better than others.
I'm the worst negotiator.
My first job, I tried to negotiate and they said no. And I said, oh, okay.
And of course, there's all these theories, too, depending upon whether you're female or male, based on gender, about negotiation. Some of it's been debunked. Some people still believe there's psychology, like legitimate psychology behind it. But that's a whole other topic.
We here in Illinois, as part of the marijuana recreational pot sales, the expungement of, low crime convictions, that process is underway in New York. They're talking about ending cash bail, which could lead to the release of thousands of inmates. That's something that more and more states are doing at this point.
I see stories about bail and how, you know, people are spending all this time in jail because they can't come up
with the cash.
And sometimes it can just be a couple of $100s and there's no one in the family that can spot them the money and they end up in jail for months.
Reverend Jesse
years.
Jackson and Rainbow Push were at the Cook County Jail on Christmas, or maybe it was the day before Christmas, just with a wad of cash just to help some people get out because they couldn't afford to get out on low level crime stuff. I mean, we're not talking serial killers or rapists or anything like that, but people who, you know, there was just some financial value that was holding them in there as opposed to being a free person. So, yeah.
Absolutely. That seems like a good thing to me.
There's a debate in California on alligator products. The state wants to ban all alligator products, but Louisiana, which is the main producer of alligator products, has gotten involved. That's thrown to the court. So that's kind of an interesting one right now.
How do you feel about it?
Products.
You can't say how you feel, but, you know, Chance the Snapper. I think about Chance the Snapper now. He stole all of our hearts.
Yeah, I don't want to see him turn into a purse.
I know.
or shoes.
Yeah, I mean, haven't we developed enough technology to make fake chance to snapper bags?
Yeah, here's another interesting one. We always do a story. We're always, I feel like, of some kind of mass casualty situation, school shootings. In Texas, where there have been a lot of these mass casualty situations, including at schools, no ban on schools or rules on the number of student resource officers. But what they are doing is requiring all of these schools to carry gunshot wound kits, which is something that when we went to school, don't think we would have known. Okay, there's the fire alarm. There's the gunshot wound kit. So,
definitely not something we grew up with.
No.
We had a tornado drill.
Yes.
You hid under. You went into the hallway or you went into a room without any windows. Or you just hid underneath your desk.
This has been going on for a while now, though. I mean, my kids have been going through these, and you know, my wife's a teacher. They've gone through this, and the scenarios and where people can enter. I mean, a lot of police forces encourage this, especially for businesses and schools and churches to have a plan in place. So.
A sign of the times.
Yeah. You know, so just a lot of kind of crazy rules that went into effect here.
Well, thank you so much, Ryan
Burrow, problem.
For coming in this side of the studio. We're so far away.
I know,
but
I'm in the middle, so I can just bounce back and forth.
Appreciate you so much.
No problem.
Always, today and every day. Okay, all right. Well, a lot more coming up on WGN Radio. I'm going to get to some of those words and pet peeves that you think should be banished for this year, 2020. All right, stay with us. Welcome back to the Anna DeVellante Show. This is G, coming up on my last 15 minutes with you. So we were talking earlier about words that should be banished. So if you have a word that you want to make sure that is banished, or a pet peeve that you want banished, one of the pet peeves involved traveling and how folks stand up immediately as soon as the plane lands and then they have to keep standing for 20 minutes. Some of the words that people think should be banished include influencer, a lot of other words.
So literally being thrown in there made me think of the phrase that I can't stand, which is, I literally can't even.
That's multiple.
Drives me nuts.
That's a phrase that just, for sure. And of course, you mentioned moist earlier, another pet peeve.
Moist, and there was another word I was trying to think of for the past hour. There's two words that I know just constantly seem to bother people for whatever reason, you know, making them feel uncomfortable. I can't seem to think of it, though.
Well, it's going to come to you later tonight.
Of course. It'll be like 2 a.m.
Exactly. And you're gonna
I'll wake up.
Drat, that's the word I was looking for. Okay. I did want to talk about some of the things that were trending. So, Lauren, if you have any comments on this, please feel free. In Australia, there is going to be, it's actually a brewery in Brisbane. They are offering, we've heard of maternity leave, paternity leave. But they're offering pawternity leave, as in PAW.
For puppies?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
It is it's for staff who are new pet owners, and this is a brewery in Brisbane. The week-long paid pet leave is meant to be an incentive for employees to stay longer. And basically, people are going to have a week to get their...
That seems like a fair amount of time.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that an employer is doing it at all is huge, but any way you could show that an employee is important to you and you respect their home life, I think that goes so far.
I think anytime an employee feels valued and they feel that they're getting a little bit, there's care involved, they want to work harder for you.
Yeah, because think about how many times you've put off certain life decisions because, I have to work, you know, I just don't have the time. Or the resources.
Well, you know, and there's so many studies that say Americans work so much more than
any
rest.
Other country.
Right.
Pretty much.
And also that our efficiency isn't necessarily that great either.
Right. And people that have vacation days don't take them, which
yes,
is not
very
good,
true.
Not healthy.
A lot of times I've read another article that said that people don't take them because they don't trust their coworkers to do the job right.
Ooh, that's
or and it's
crazy.
Also about job security too.
I know there's a lot of stigma of, you know, certain sick days or vacation days of how you will be viewed by either your boss or your coworkers.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You don't want them talking about you behind your back. But I love this pawternity leave.
I love it too.
I also love companies that also offer pet insurance too. That's something cool.
Yeah, I've noticed that's becoming more popular and how important it is. I have several family members that have needed to use that.
Oh,
quite a
pets
bit.
Are so expensive. And, you know, I think this applies to dogs and cats, but I wonder if this would apply if there's, you know, if this would apply to a gerbil, like if you got a new gerbil.
Probably not. They're a little self-sufficient.
I know they are. Okay. So Pawternity. Jasmine, is this a caller that I have online or? Okay. No. Nobody wants to talk to me. Just kidding. 312-981-7200. Lauren's talking to me.
No, of course.
Yeah.
But think about how hard it is to train a puppy and how essential those first few days and weeks are.
Because
if you don't get it right down bad, there are going to be bad habits for almost probably most of its life.
So,
unless you pay for those expensive puppy glasses.
I know, right? It's very costly, especially when they get sick. And I have two cats, so... And they don't like each other. That's a whole other story.
Ooh.
But here's a text message from the 262. Pet peeve over sensitive to things. Oh, pet peeve. Can't stand group texting. It's overwhelming. Come on, guys. Trying really hard not to be a 58-year-old grump, but this kind of thing is so overwhelming.
So not necessarily group texts overwhelm me, but I get really overwhelmed when people send 7 texts in a row back to back to back instead of putting one long paragraph. It like my anxiety immediately just spikes
because your phone is going ding ding
yeah,
ding
it's
ding
like, do,
and usually while you're trying to work too, I'm sure. Okay, so here are some words from the 312, words that should be banished: iconic and amazing. Both are way overused to the point that they are meaningless. This is from the 847. There will be lines at pot stores forever, just like in Boston where lines remain huge and where one pot store is on Weed Street. I did not know that existed in Boston, a weed store on Weed Street. Thank you, 847. Another one from 847, the words epic and special should be eliminated. Everything is epic and every athlete is special. From the 630, starting each statement with so has to go. Now, I might be guilty of that because sometimes you're filling time.
Well, yeah, word fillers.
Yes.
So,
I try to stop with the like.
Yeah.
I've gotten, you know, I really try. 224, craft is another overused word. Craft beer, craft soda, and that goes along with the words artisanal, curated, that were mentioned as well. From the 708, they should ban the word bookseller. If you work at the hot dog stand, you're not a hot dog seller. Not trying to sound too, not trying to sound important. I never thought about that.
I never really hear the term bookseller, though.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of book stores have been closing.
Yeah.
773. If it's not already, adulting needs to be banished. From the 708, in my heart of hearts, why is it necessary to embellish? Oh, you do hear that. In my heart of hearts, I feel this. 574, super, as in it was super fun. And I know, right? And I think
sounds
John,
like we all just need a thesaurus and to really comb through them because people don't like that we all use the same adjectives.
Yes, very true. And that was from John in Plymouth, Indiana. I think he wanted me to mention his name. So thanks, John, for texting in. 815, like, we've already heard that one. 708, I think I love that is very much overused. It's true. Because I think we try to emphasize something and we say, we love it. I loved it.
Yeah, we're rather dramatic with our wording, now that I think about it.
Mm-hmm. Narrative is a word that was mentioned by 630. The 224, say, that's Lake Superior State University. Say the so. Huh. I don't know what that means. Sorry, I didn't quite get that 224. Sorry about that. 217, I absolutely despise friggin. 847, G, I think you meant banned, not banished words and phrases. Oh, you know what? I think this article, yes, I did. I'm so sorry. Did I say banished?
I don't recall.
I apologize. 847, thank you for bringing that up. 630, literally has to go. That was definitely something that was mentioned and also a pet peeve of Lauren Lapkus. 224, kind of and sort of are way overused. And then the 224 actually is another one. And then from the 217, pet peeve, flying, why does the airline not put into place having those needing to get to a connecting flight off the plane first.
Oh, they should do that.
Sometimes they do, especially if a
if it's really bad. Yeah.
If a flight's really delayed, they'll say, please, if you don't mind, if you don't, if this is home for you or you have time to connect, please let our passengers who are trying to make a flight.
Because there's nothing worse than that gut wrenching feeling, wondering if you're going to make your flight.
Yeah.
And so, you can do nothing but stand and wait.
So the 217, we agree with you. Why do they not have the people who have seats at the rear of the plane board first? Oh, another great comment. From the 630, I hate when people say O instead of zero. Oh, that's a good one. I never would have even thought about that. So it's not, so people say O instead of zero.
Yeah, like 240.
Mm-hmm. 847 says transparency. They don't like that word. 630 doesn't like the word panties.
So, okay, so that's kind of similar to the moist thing. Yeah, things that just sound call it, gross.
Just call it underwear or undergarments?
Yeah, underwear.
Undergarments. That sounds very old-fashioned, right? Mm-hmm.
Bloomers.
Pantalones.
Pantaloons.
Oh, pantaloons. Okay, yes.
Pantalones, I think, actually is Spanish for pants.
I don't know why I went into that. 847, outraged. Everything causes outrage. Jeez, I totally agree with you, 847, especially on cable network television, especially on all of the news shows. Everyone's always outraged. Jasmine, so incredible. My producer, Jasmine, keeping track of all of these text messages. She loves it. No, not really. Thank you, Jazzy. From the 630, oh my God, are you loving it? 847, I gotcha and got it. You know, one of my pet peeves is when people just text me back K to a text message.
Very passive aggressive.
I just feel like you, and I said like there, I just feel as though it's just as easy to type in okay as it is K. Is it really saving you that much time to just say K instead of okay?
I think I've turned to alrighty.
Oh, I like that. That sounds very friendly.
And therefore, you know, look, I put in the effort of putting all these extra letters in.
847, at the end of the day, needs to go. Oh. 815 doesn't like the word surreal. 773. Oh, so nice. They said they're happy to hear my smiling voice. So sweet of you. I love you, 773. Thinks the phrase you deserve needs to be gone. You deserve. 262, when someone uses these ones in reference to one item. Oh, okay. I get that. These ones in reference to just one singular item.
Because it's grammatically incorrect?
That bothers the 262. 312 doesn't like the word triggered. That's been happening a lot. And the 630, despise, absolutely despise. This is from the 630. The phrase, my ride or die, which you see all the time on social media, and the phrase, bae, B-A-E.
Oh, I didn't even know what that meant for the longest time. I think I only found out a year ago. It meant before anyone else, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I have a caller. Yay! Okay, Peter, how are you?
Hi,
Happy
there.
New Year.
I'm fine, and I hope your new year is starting in a wonderful way.
It's perfect now that you've called.
Well, I'm proud to be the initial one today.
Thank you. And tell me, what is the word you hope that is completely banned in this year?
Well, I don't know that it can be banned. I am all against the misuse of the word unique.
Okay.
There's only one modifier that you can legitimately put on it, and that's the word not. There's no very unique, slightly unique. There are no shades of gray in unique. It's either unique or it's not, or it's maybe it's very rare.
Aha, I see. Are you a unique? English professor?
No, but my father got all the way to 60 hours towards a doctorate in linguistics before they found out that, having been a ranger doing underwater demolitions in World War II, had blown the top end of his hearing off.
Oh,
he
wow.
couldn't hear syllable sounds, you know, the hissy sounds that change an S from a S.
Well, and, we thank your father for his service, and you have an incredible radio voice, Peter. I hope you don't mind the word incredible because I just used it.
I don't mind any word used properly.
Well, thank you, Peter, for calling. I so appreciate it.
You take care, and may this be the beginning of a wonderful year for you.
Thank you. You as well. Okay, so the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.